Today's shir is for a schus for refu shleima for shalom abracha. Today's shir is mesachta nedarim daf beis. As we begin beis or Hashem yisbarach mesachta nedarim, we of course begin with a question that the Gemara mesachta soita, the beginning mesachta soita daf beis of manalv discusses. What is the connection between mesachta ksubis that we just finished and mesachta nedarim? So the Gemara Masechta Soita Daf Beis Amud Aleph teaches us that since in Masechta Ksubis we learned a Perek Hamadir, which speaks about halachas, about a wife making a neder and the husband's relationship to those nedarim. So now we learn Masechta Nedarim that teaches us the details of nedarim. The Maral takes this a step further. He says, if we think about Masechta Ksubis and we think about Masechta Nedarim, the basic concept of both of these Masechtas is very similar. The Tarak Dosha says we're going to be discussing this pasuk soon. Kichol ish ki yida neder, if a person makes a neder, kichol hayoytz mipiv yasa, everything that you said, you have to fulfill. The Tarak Dosha is teaching us the power of the word. And where is that most evident? The power of one word. That's most evident in Masechta Ksubis. By a husband getting married, and as we learned, a marriage brings with it so many obligations. What is the basis of a marriage? The fact that the husband says to his wife that you will be my wife, and she accepts to be his wife. In fact, we learned a number of times in Masechta Ksubis that hein hein dvarim hanikna ba'amira, that the word of a person is so much more powerful when we speak about marriage and the ksuba and the obligations that come from the chassan to the kala, from the kala to the chassan, from the chassan's family, from the kala's family. The Gemara says hein hein dvarim hanikna ba'amira, that normally obligations and relationships and are based on kinyonim, but when it comes to a marriage, all that is required is what one articulates. And just like when we speak about a marriage, which is all based on one's word, that is certainly the concept behind the Dorim, where when somebody obligates himself to do something or says, I won't do something, and as we're going to learn, whether he said it as a neder, whether he said it as a shvua, the power of that obligation is so strong that he's obligated to do what he agreed to do or not do what he said he won't do, and the repercussions of not fulfilling what you obligated yourself to do or not, as we're going to be learning already at the beginning of the Masechta, are so critical. And not only that, as we're going to be learning in our Masechta, not only is what you say so critical, but as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, right in our first Mishnah, the Torah is so careful, the Torah is so concerned about how those words are expressed. Kinuyim and Yadus, all concepts that we're going to learn in our Masechta, already at the beginning of the Masechta. And that's why the Maral says, these two Masechtas that speak about the power of the word are connected to each other. And therefore, even though Masechta Nedarim is really not connected to Hilchos Ishus, not connected to the Evan Ezer, not connected to issues that relate to husband and wife, still the Torah HaKadosha, still Chazal, put Masechta Nedarim in Seder Noshim. Yes, there are many Rishonim, the Rambam, who suggests that the reason is because the Torah, when it speaks about Nedarim, the Torah speaks strongly about Haforas Nedarim, Nedarim that could be annulled by a husband, between a husband and a wife. But again, it also is very much, as we just spoke about, the power of the word. The Torah HaKadosha gives a person the ability to take something which is really permissible and make it also to him, make it prohibited to him. The way somebody could accomplish that is through a neder or shvua. And as we're going to learn, if somebody violates a neder, he's over a loisasei. The Torah says, lo yachil deveroi. He may not profane what he said. He's obligated to fulfill what he said. And the Torah also says, as we just quoted, k'chol hayotz mipiv yase. You have to do what you said you're going to do. And if one violated a neder, the halacha is he violated that mitzvah's asay. According to the Rambam, the halacha, not only do you violate in the violation of a neder, this lav and asay that we just identified, but according to the Rambam, you're also over a mitzvah, another mitzvah's asay, because the Torah says, Moitzis v'secha tishmar v'asisa. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ramban says that if one violates a neder, he doesn't necessarily violate that mitzvah's asay. If somebody makes a neder, and he violates the neder, he gets malchus. The Chinuch disagrees. And the Chinuch says that even though, as we just learned, it does involve the violation of a lois asay when you violate your neder, but it's a lav she'ein by ma'isa, because the neder, as we just had discussed, is based on your word, and for lav she'ein by ma'isa, says the Chinuch, there is no mitzvah, there's no malchus. So as we just said, that a neder could be expressed in a number of ways. One is nidrei yisr. Nidrei yisr means that there's something that is really permissible. I'm allowed to eat a certain food, for example, and I make a neder that I won't eat it. Another type of neder where I obligate myself to bring a carbon. A carbon could be brought as a neder where you say haray alai. You personally obligate yourself to bring a carbon. Or you could say haray zu, which is called a nedava, where you identify a specific animal and you say that you're going to bring that animal as a carbon. The difference between a neder and a nedava is if you designated an animal as a carbon and then something happened to that animal, by a nedava you would not need to replace it because you said haray zu. You're only obligating yourself to bring that animal. And if that animal can't be brought, then your obligation expires. Whereas if you said haray olai, even if you designated a carbon, if something happens to that animal, you would have to replace it. The halachas of nidrei iser, where you say you won't eat something, is the subject of this mesechta. Nidrei hegdish, where you obligate yourself to bring a carbon, is really something that we'll discuss more when we learn say the kachim. A neder is only considered a valid neder if you articulate what you intend to do. And not only in order for a neder to be considered a valid neder, it has to been verbalized. The halacha also is that it should be connected to something that you intended to do. Somebody says that this will be also to me, this I will have to do, and that's what you intended to do and intended to say, that's the way it becomes a neder. One of the important concepts that we're going to be discussing in this mesechta is the concept of atfosa. That when you say, this object should be also to me, you say like a carbon. And just like a carbon, as we just said, of course, is hegdish, and it's something that we may not personally benefit from. By saying that this object should be like a carbon, the halacha is that that object becomes also to you. Big machlokes rishonim, which we're going to refer to, is the primary way of expressing a neder with atfasa. In order for a neder to really be considered properly articulated, you should have done atfasa. That's the opinion of certain rishonim. Other rishonim disagree, and that's the opinion of the Rambam. The opinion of the Rajba is that you don't have to have a neder. You don't have to have to a neder to make. You don't have to have a tfasa to make it a primary type of neder. Everybody agrees, however, that if you're going to make a neder with a tfasa, it's only considered a valid neder if you were matvis bedover hanoder, but not if you were matvis bedover osur. To explain. If you say that this food should be offered to you like a carbon, that is atfasa. Because what is the concept behind the carbon? The concept behind the carbon is that you decided that this should be a carbon. It was, as I would say, called man-made. And a nether is also a man-made iser, that you said something which is mutter should be asr to you. But if you have something which is davar asr, if you say that this food should be asr to you like non-kosher food, food that's non-kosher is not asr to you because you said you made it not permissible. It's not permissible. It's asr because the Torah said it's asr. And therefore, hatfasa b'davar another is considered hatfasa, but hatfasa b'davar asr is not, the Rambam says, a meaningful statement, because a davar asr didn't become asr. The non-kosher food did not become asr because you made it asr. It became asr because the Torah made it asr. The Ran has a different explanation to this halacha. The Ran's explanation is that when you are matvis in a carbon, what you're essentially doing, says the Ran, is you're extending the kedusha of the carbon or the halachas of the carbon onto what you now are saying asr. So that's possible to be done by something that both of those yisurim are dependent on what you did. But you can't take something which is davar asr, which is inherently asr, a non-kosher food, and extend that isr to something that you're making asr. But then there's another explanation which is offered by the Ritva. And in order to understand the Ritva's explanation, we have to identify a very important halacha. And the difference, which is a concept that will come up quite often in this Masechta Mitzvashem. And that is, we know that there are two ways of expressing something is asr to you. One is by saying a neder, and one is by saying a shvuah. And what is the difference between a neder and a shvuah? The difference between a neder and a shvuah, as the Gemara is going to teach us, is that a neder is an issa cheftza. You're saying that this food is asr. What is the basis of the isr? When you're speaking about the food, the cheftza, a shvuah is issa gavra. And the shvuah speaks to the person. The person makes a shvuah, and the person says that I should not be allowed to do this, or I should be obligated to do so. That's called an issa gavra, says the Ritva. A neder, as we just said, is an iser cheftza. But something which is asr midaraisa, if the Torah tells me I may not eat a certain non-kosher food, that certainly an issa gavra. And therefore, explains the Ritva, you can't mix a dover or asr, which is an issa gavra, together with a neder, which is an issa cheftza. And that's why, if you were matfis, explains the Ritva, with a dover or asr, you're mixing up a neder and a, you're mixing up a neder and a shvuah, which, as we explained and we'll learn quite often in Mitzvah Shem and our shurim, are two very, very different concepts. And because they're so very different, they cannot be connected. The Mishnah teaches us that, of course, if one expresses a neder, it's not just if he is very clear in his expression what he meant to say, that the neder is not a neder, but there are other ways where your wording is not as clear, but still the halacha will be that your neder will be a valid neder. And that's how we begin the Masechta, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Kol kinuyin nedarim k'nedarim. Teaches us the Mishnah that whenever you did not say the neder in the proper way, still the neder is considered a valid neder. And the best example is, we just said that the proper way, according to many Rishonim, of expressing a neder is with atfasa. So if somebody says, ki kazel like a carbon, that this bread should be to me like a carbon, What is that person saying? What that person's saying is that just like a carbon, you may not eat, it's hegdish, so too I should not be allowed to eat this loaf of bread. But instead of using the words kikazeh alai kikarbon, you said different variation of that word. You said kainim, or you said the word kaineach, or you said the word kainis. All of these are not the proper way of expressing carbon, yet the halacha is that it's considered a valid neder. And we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, why is the halacha that called kinei nedarim kinedarim? A machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that kinuyim loshen ha'omas heim. They're not words in Lashon Kodesh, they're words that are of other languages. Rish Lakish says, loshen shetiknu chachamim shi'in nodrim ba. These are words that the Chazal composed that we could use as a way of expressing a neder. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that this is Lashon Umis, Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what Rabbi Yochanan means. Rambam learns that actually these words started off as Hebrew words, Lashon Kodesh words. But because the Umis Ha'olam were not able to express these words, they were not able to pronounce these words properly, they started using different words that they were able to express. Other Rishonim says that it's not because these words have a basis in Lashon Kodesh. They're words from other languages. But the Mishnah is teaching us that in order to express a neder, you don't have to express in Lashon Kodesh. That even though Lashon HaKodesh is the primary language of all halacha, in order for a neder to be a valid neder, it doesn't have to be expressed in Lashon Kodesh. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that holds that the neder is a valid neder even if it wasn't expressed in Lashon Kodesh. There is no difference. Midaraisa, a kinui, if you express your neder in a different language, the halacha is that it's a full-fledged neder. But according to Rish Lakish, that says that the definition of kol kinei nedarim is a loshen shebadal lam chachamim. So Tosfos asks, how will Rish Lakish understand? Is the neder that was expressed in these loshen shebadu chachamim, is the neder that was expressed in one of these new words that Chazal composed, a neder midaraisa, or is it only a neder midrabanan? Meaning, since the entire wording that I used to make this neder are only words that the Rabbanan composed, maybe suggests Tosfos that the entire neder used that expressed with those words will only be a neder midrabanan. Or is Pshat, Tosfos says, once Chazal established that these are ways to express your neder, even though these are words that were composed by the Rabbanon, the neder is a neder deraisa. And this is machloikas Rishonim. But then on the other hand, ask the Rishonim, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that this is Lashon HaUmas, that the definition of Kinuyim is, even though it wasn't said in Lashon Kodesh, the neder is a full-fledged neder. So then the question is, and what are the examples, as we said, kainim, kaineach? Why are we identifying specifically these examples? Any word that's not Lashon Kodesh should be considered, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a valid neder. So the Chacham Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chasdoi, is quoted by the Rishonim, explains that not only are these words of the Lashon HaUmas, a words that the Umas composed, use, but they're not really part of their day-to-day vocabulary. And since they're not part of their everyday vocabulary, then that's why the halacha is, the Mishnah is teaching us that they're still considered a valid neder. But Tosfos, in Masechta Nazir, has a very important explanation. He says there are two types of Lashon HaUmas. There's Lashon HaUmas that are very similar to Lashon HaKodesh,
very similar to Hebrew, and the Lashon Umis, which are different languages, not Lashon HaKodesh. And there's a very fundamental difference in halacha between a neder that's said in Lashon HaKodesh versus a neder that's said in Lashon HaUmis. Lashon HaKodesh, whenever you say something in Lashon HaKodesh, even if you don't understand that language, and even if it's not the language that is spoken where you made the neder, if you made a neder in the United States using Lashon HaKodesh, which is not obviously the language that's spoken in the United States, Lashon HaKodesh, the halacha is considered a neder under all circumstances. And says Tosfos that that's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, that the Mishnah teaches us. That if you use a word that's a kinyan of a neder, which is similar to Lashon HaKodesh, since the halacha by Lashon HaKodesh is, if you use Lashon HaUmis, which is similar to Lashon HaKodesh, since by Lashon HaKodesh the halacha is, if you say it in Lashon HaKodesh, it will always be a valid neder, no matter where you said it, no matter if you understand the language or not, so too will be the halacha by these words that are similar to Lashon HaKodesh. And this is not just relevant to Hilchos Nedarim. This is relevant to all mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to say Krishma every day. If you say Krishma, and the halacha we learned in Masechta Brachos, is that if you recite Krishma in a different language, you yoytza. But there's a very fundamental difference if you say it in a different language or you say it in Lashon HaKodesh. If you say it in Lashon HaKodesh, then the halacha is you yoytza the mitzvah, even if you don't understand Lashon HaKodesh, you yoytza the mitzvah of Krishma. If you say it in a different language, then you're not yoytza the mitzvah if you don't understand the language. And so too, that the Gemara and Masechta Megillah teach us is the halacha by Megillah, by Kriyas Megillah. If you read the Megillah in Lashon HaKodesh, if you read the Megillah in its original language, you yoytza even if you don't understand. You yoytza even if you don't understand the words. If you read it in a different language, then the halacha is you're not yoytza if you don't understand that language. The Ritva takes this halacha even a step further. And the Mishnah Berurah paskens like this Ritva. Not only is the halacha that if you say something in a different language than Lashon HaKodesh, must you understand that language for you to be yoytza the mitzvah? Must you understand that language for the neder to be the neder? But let's say you say it in a different language that you understand, but that's not that language that's spoken in the place where you made the neder. So let's say, for example, you make a neder in French here in the United States, but you understand French. Says the Ritva that the halacha is that that's not going to be a valid neder. And the same thing, according to Ritva, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you speak French and you understand French, but you were to say Krishma in the United States and France in French, even though it's a language you understand, but that's not the language that's spoken here in the United States, you will not be yoytza the mitzvah. It has to have two conditions. It has to be a language that you understand, if it's not Lashon HaKodesh. It has to be a language that you understand. And not only does it have to be a language that you need to understand, but it has to be a language that's spoken in the place where you said that language. And that, according to Ritva, is the chiddush of the Lashon HaUmis of our Mishnah of according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah is teaching us that if you use these words, which may be Lashon HaUmis, but they're similar to Lashon HaKodesh, then if you express the neder, according to Rabbi Yochanan, with those words, no matter where you are, the halacha is that the neder would be a valid neder. But there's another point that the Ran makes. The Ran says that what, as we just said, is the issue. The Ran quoted the Hachacham HaGadol, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chisdoi, that what is the issue with the Lashon HaUmis, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah starts with teaching us Kol Kinyanei Nedarim, is that even these words are Lashon HaUmis, but they're not clear words in those languages. Still, they're enough of an expression of a neder, teaches us the Mishnah, teaches us Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chisdoi, that should be a valid neder, which opens up a very interesting question. If a person speaks in a way that is not clear, he's not understanding, is he yoitz the mitzvah if he expresses himself that way? If somebody hears somebody saying Kaddish, and he has difficulty expressing himself, and it's, as the Ram calls it, Loshen Ilgim, the words that are difficult to come out, would you say Amen? So it seems, says the Cheshukei Chemet, based on what we just learned in the Ram, that if you that the whole pshat of Kol Kenuya in the Dorim is that they're not words that are clear, and still the Aloch is that you yoitz, that it's considered a nether. So it would be that if somebody said something in an unclear fashion, he still yoitz the mitzvah. Or if I hear something in an unclear fashion, the Aloch should be that it's considered that I should say Amen. But that's not so clear. That's not so clear. Because, as the Ran explained, even though these words that were expressed in our Mishnah are not a very clear way of one expressing themselves, but as the Ran explained, they became part of the vocabulary. And since they became part of the vocabulary, one is that's considered the one expressed himself. But if one speaks in a way that nobody could understand what he said, it's not considered that it was expressed. You used good words, but they were said in an improper way. And Aruch HaShulchan in Simon Samach Beis, Aruch Hayim, Sif Al speaks like this. And he says, Uposhehu, the Mish Hunilag Beloshin, somebody who is unable to speak clearly. And he gives examples. That people they can't pronounce a resh properly. They can't say shin. The shin sounds like a sin. They can't say gimel properly. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, since this is the way he speaks, then the halacha is he's yoitzim. And then he quotes a medrash. The medrash says, V'digla elayo hava, omarav acha, ama oritz, shekor la hava eva. He doesn't know how to pronounce the word. And instead of saying the word ahava, which means love, he uses a word which is just the opposite. He uses the word eva, which means hate. That means we start Krishna and say, V'ahavta Hashem elokecha, and he says, V'ayavta, which means he hates Hashem. We would think that that person certainly is not yoitza the mitzvah of Krishna. Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'leglugai alai ahava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look just at our words that come out of our mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at what's in our heart. And since somebody says it the proper way, somebody intended to say it the proper way, that is what Hashem looks for. The Sefer Chassidim says that all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki bereinu ha-shebaychem levois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at our hearts. Eino shoyel kiim lev ha-adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for what's on our heart, ashe tamim imoy, that we should mean the right way. And he quotes an incredible story. There was a kohen who did nesias kapayim, and instead of saying the word v'yishmerecha, which apparently he wasn't able to pronounce properly, he said v'yishmedecha. V'yishmerecha means Hashem will protect us. V'yishmedecha, shmad, means that Kadosh Baruch Hu will destroy us. And there was a rav there who said to this kohen, you're not allowed to duchen. How can you duchen if you can't pronounce the word v'yishmerecha that way? And min shemayim, they showed him that if you won't bring that kohen back, you will be punished. And there's another story that the Sefer Chassidim says that there was a person that every day, a very simple, unlearned person, and this person he was a shepherd, and he used to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't learn, I can't daven. But what would I do for you, Hashem? He says, if you had animals that needed to be watched, I would watch them for free in my love to you. And one day, a Talmud Chacham walks by and he hears this shepherd davening this way. And he tells the shepherd, you foolish man, that's not the way to daven. So the shepherd asks him, what is the proper way to daven? So he said, I'll teach you. And he teach you, and he taught him the alabes, and he taught him how to daven properly. And the Talmud Chacham travels on further. And this shepherd, who, as we just said, was sort of a very simple man, forgot everything that he had been taught. But he was also told that don't daven that way. It's not the proper way to daven. So he stopped davening. So this Talmud Chacham saw a dream where he was told, make it your business to get back to the shepherd. And tell the shepherd, any way a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as he davens with his heart, as long as he expresses his recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is all that's needed. And there's a famous story with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Badechev, that he was once somewhere and he saw a person that was in a rush and he davened quickly and his words were not clear. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Badechev went over to that person and he said, and he started talking to him in a garbled fashion that he wasn't able to understand. And he said, so the person said to the Badechev, what are you doing? He's saying, I'm mimicking you. Just like your words are unclear, my words are unclear, you don't understand me. That's how you're talking to Hashem. And the person responded to the Badechiva. He says, you have young children, young babies that are unable to speak. They barely can express themselves. But their parents are able to understand them. He says, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Maybe you can't understand what I'm saying. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our father, Avinu Shebishamayim, understands what I said. And that's to whom I daven. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Badechev used to say, that person is right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're saying. The interesting question that is, we know many times there's a halacha of Shemei Koina, that somebody makes the bracha. I don't say the bracha, but I'm yoitza with him saying the bracha. What's the halacha if somebody said it in a way that I would not be yoitza? Going back to what we discussed at the beginning of this discussion, where somebody speaks a language, not Lashon Kodesh, he understands that language, so he could be yoitza the mitzvah, if that's the language, certainly if it's spoken in this country. If somebody speaks English in the United States and he understands English, he's yoitza. But I don't understand English. What does Shemeikah mean? Does it mean that's as if I'm making the bracha? That's the opinion of the Beis Halevi. The Chazanish says that what Shemeikah says is that I can be yoitza with his bracha. So if we take the approach of the Beis Halevi, that Shemeikah means that it's as if I made the bracha, I didn't make, but the bracha that's recited this way is not a bracha that I could be yoitza with. I don't understand that language. But if the definition of Shemei Koina is that as long as the person who recited the bracha is fine, as long as it's the person who made the bracha is yoitza the bracha that way, it would be satisfactory. That's the question of Shemei Koina. Back to the Mishnah, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach. The Mishnah teaches us, Kol Kinuya Nedarim Kinadarim. And so is the halacha by charamim. There are two types of charamim we're going to learn. There are charamei kohanim and charamei gevoya. Somebody could either donate something with a cherim to the Beis HaMikdash or to give it to the kohanim. If somebody expressed his cherim with a kinui, it's considered a valid expression of his kinui, of cherim. Shvuas kishvuas. If somebody used a word to express a shvua, that the halach is that he's yoitz, that it's if he used a kinui, the halach is that it's a valid shvua. There's a very fundamental question in the Rishonim. When one expresses a shvua, that does he have to say the Shem Hashem, or does he not have to say the Shem Hashem? There are those that say that every Shvuah comes with the Shem Hashem. And the Rishonim use our Mishnah as a raya that that is actually not the halacha. Because if every Shvuah requires the Shem Hashem, so the fact that this person used the Shem Hashem, even though he used words that are difficult to words to understand, and maybe they shouldn't be proper ways of expressing his Shvuah, it should still be a Shvuah because he said the Shem Hashem. The fact that the Mishnah had to teach us that it is a valid Shvuah when you use a Kinui seems to be a raya that you don't have to say the Shem Hashem. But the Meram Rattenberg brings a raya, the Shach, the quotes of Meram Rattenberg, that says that when you say Shem Hashem and you want to express a Shvuah, the halach is it's considered a valid Shvuah, not because it's considered a real way of expressing a Shvuah. It's only considered Yodis Shvuah. The next case we're going to learn in the Mishnah is the halacha of Yodis. So now the Mishnah is saying that if you express the Shvuah, but you just said the Shem Hashem, so then it would be Yodis. And it's also, under certain circumstances, going to be considered Kinui Nadar Shvuas, even if you didn't say the Shem Hashem. But the proper way is to say the Shem Hashem. There is a Machlokes Rishonim, however, what is Dalochem? The Ravid's opinion is that only a Shvuas Eidus, when one is saying testimony as a witness, must he say the Shem Hashem. But when one is expressing a Shvuah, like we're learning in our Mishnah, when he says something is Osir to him, something should be Osir to me, or something that I should be obligated to do, the many Rishonim, as we just said, hold, you have to say a Shem. The Ravid says you don't. The Ramban opinion is that you never have to say a Shem Hashem. There are other opinions that say the difference is, as we know, if you violate a Shvuah, you have to bring a carbon. So the Ran wants to suggest that there's a difference. If you made a Shvuah with a Shem and you violate it, you would have to bring a carbon. But if you make a Shvuah without a Shem and you violate it, you wouldn't have to bring a carbon. Rabbeinu Tam differentiates that if somebody else is being mashbia you, sometimes you don't have to say the Shvuah yourself. Somebody makes you take an oath, and all you do is say Amen. The source for that type of Shvuah is the Gemara Masechta Saita. The Gemara Masechta Saita teaches us that when the Saita is brought to the Beis HaMikdash to swear, so the Kayin makes a swear. So in that type of a Shvuah, Rabbeinu Tam says, it's only considered a valid Shvuah if you said a Shem Hashem. But if it's a Shvuah that you expressed by yourself, there it's even if you didn't say the Shem Hashem. Continues with Cain, and similarly, Naziris to Naziris, if you express that you accept upon yourself a Naziris, it's a valid Naziris, even just with a Kinui. Continues the Mishnah, Amel Chaverim Medorani Mimcha. If somebody says, now we begin learning the halachas of Yodis Nadarim. So if somebody says, Medrani Mimcha, Mefreshani Mimcha, Merchukani Mimcha, Shani Oichalach, and he said that I won't eat by you, Shani Taimlach, I won't even taste anything by you. Osir, because all of these words are considered Yodis Nadarim, and since they're considered Yodis Nadarim, they're also considered a valid way of expressing to a neder. Menudani Lach, what's going to be the halacha? Instead of saying Medrani Mimcha, somebody said Menudani Lach. So Rabbi Kiva is not clear how to view this neder, and therefore says Rabbi Kiva, Yechayk Bezel Hakma. In other words, the way the Ran explains, sometimes you ask the question and you don't know what to say, and you start shaking, you start being uncomfortable. That's here what happened. He wasn't sure, but he said to be Mahachmer. Another pshat that the Bartanura suggests is that he didn't want to say expressly, Beferish, that it's Osir. He only motioned, since he wasn't 100% certain what the halacha is, he didn't want to say it clearly. The halacha is that he only said it not very strongly, very directly. And that's why the Rambam points out, and we're going to speak about this in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, that if somebody violated a nether that was expressed this way, even though Rabbi Kiva just taught us that it should be treated as a nether, the halacha still is that it's not, they wouldn't get malchus if he violated this type of a nether. So we learned in the Mishnah, called Kinin Nedarim, Kinedarim. The Mishnah began by teaching us the halacha of Kinin Nedarim. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ashtan Gabin Nazar, what, we have a similar Mishnah in Masech the Nazar. And there the Mishnah teaches us, Kinin Naziris, Kin Naziris. But ask the Gemara, Ma'ashtan Gabin Nazar, the Loik Tani Lekula, why when we learned Masech the Nazar, does the Mishnah not speak about all these other halachas of Charamim, Shvuas, Naziris? Ma'ashtan Gabin Nedarim, when we learned this Mishnah that we just learned, the Mishnah mentions all of the halachas, not just by Nedarim, but by Charamim, and by Shvuas, and by Naziris. Answers the Gemara. Because the Torah mentions the halacha of Shvuas and Nedarim next to each other, as the Pasuk says, so it makes sense, says the Gemara, to teach us both the halacha by Neder and Shvuah, because we see that Torah puts them together. And now, says the Gemara, so since the Torah taught us, since the Mishnah has a reason to teach us that both of them, became the Tani Tartan, since we learned the halacha of Nedarim and Shvuas, that's why the Mishnah extends, and also to teach us Tani Lekula, to teach the halacha of Charamim and Naziris. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that the main subject that our Mishnah wants to discuss is Nedarim, but Shvuas is so linked to Nedarim, so that's why it's also mentioned. And then everything else is only mentioned because of that. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, for listening, Kinui Nedarim, Bas Nedarim. After the Mishnah taught us the halacha of Nedarim, the Mishnah should have immediately taught us the halacha of Shvuas, because those are the two subjects that we want near each other. Answers the Gemara, I did the Tana Nedarim, the Itza Cheftzalei. As we said at the beginning of our shiur, the fundamental difference between Nedarim and Shvuas is that Nedarim are an Isser Cheftza. I'm saying that this object should be also to me. Shvuas is Isser Gavra, as we're going to say in a second. So that's why the Mishnah chose to speak about Isser, speak about Charamim, which is also Cheftza, Isser Cheftza next to Nedarim. Tani Nami Charamim, the Mitzah Cheftza Lei, Lafuki Shvia, where Shvua is not an Issa Cheftza, the Asa Nafshe Mechefza, it's Issa Gavra. So this is a very fundamental difference between Nedarim and Shvuas. Nedarim is Issa Cheftza and Shvuas is Issa Gavra. And this difference has many very serious nafkaminas in Hilchas Nedarim. The halacha is, if you expressed, and the question that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, is what's going to be halacha if you expressed in a nether in the wording of Shvuah, or vice versa. Many Rishonim, the Ran says, suggest that it would not be a valid nether, a valid Shvuah, because you didn't express the nether the way a nether is supposed to mean. You didn't express the Shvuah the way a Shvuah is supposed to mean. Another nafkamina is if you make a nether on something which is a Dvar Mitzvah. So the halacha is that the Cheftz is Asur. If I make a nether that this esrig, I'm not allowed to have any anoah from. So I wouldn't be allowed to use that esrig for dalaminim. But if I made a shvuah that I'm not allowed to do mitzvah, since we have a prior shvuah that we're obligated to the mitzvah, the shvuah would not be chal. Another nafkamina is that a shvuah is effective, and all these halachas we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn in our Masechta, both on something which is tangible, davar sheyesh by mamish, and davish ain by mamish. Whereas a nether, which is a issa cheftza, so you have to have a cheftza. And then since you have to have a cheftza, the halacha is that if you don't have a cheftza, the nether is going to be considered, a nether is not going to be considered a valid nether. So now, there's a fundamental question. We know that this difference between a nissa cheftza and a nissa gavra is a fundamental issue in all halacha. And the question is, how do we look at the surim of the Torah? are they considered as a cheftza or as a gavra? And we quoted earlier in our shir that the Ritva says they're actually both. That means if you're not allowed to eat non-kosher food, says the Ritva, there's an issa gavra. I, the individual, may not eat this non-kosher food. And the food is also an issa cheftza. This food is also to me. But the Rishonim and Achronim discuss what happens if there's a food that's not osa medaraisa, that's only osa medarabonin. Medarabonin said you shouldn't eat that food. There are many Rishonim and Achronim who suggest that every food, everything that's osa medarabonin, the Rabbanim can't take something which is mutter min adaraisa and make it osur. All the Rabbanim could do is create a segavra. The Rabbanim could say that you, the individual, are allowed to do something and we tell you not to do it. And that's why many Rishonim and Achronim suggest that all the Rabbanims are segavra. But ask the Gemara. Possibly Kenuyim. The Mishnah began, as we just learned, by teaching us the halachos of Kenuyim. Possibly Kenuyim called Kunin Adorim. And then, when the Mishnah goes to explain and illustrate the Farish Yodos, Haimer v'chaver muda minach. So why did the Mishnah first, if the Mishnah first spoke about the Hilchos Kenuyim, then the Mishnah should have taught us Hilchos Kenuyim first. But that's not what the Mishnah does. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, so Yodos Inchi, the halacha is, the Mishnah didn't even teach us the halacha of Yodos Nedarim. Shouldn't the Mishnah first said Yodos Nedarim K'Nedarim, and then after the Mishnah said that, then the Mishnah should have illustrated Yodos Nedarim? Answers the Gemara, Ayri Bahai. Actually, the Mishnah did mention Yodos. Just V'Chsuri Mechzvah K'Tani, Kol K'Nuyi Nedarim K'Nedarim, V'Dikol Yodos Nedarim K'Nedarim. So says the Gemara that V'Chsuri Mechzvah, the words are missing. And this concept of Chsuri Mechzra V'Ochik Tani is a concept that's often cited in Shas. Chsuri Mechzra V'Ochik Tani. But what does that mean? So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that originally, Rabbeinu Bechaya says that it's inconceivable to accept that the Mishnah is missing any words. But he says we have to understand the history of Mishnayos. We know the history of Mishnayos is that Mishnayos were taught, Torah Shabbat Peh was taught orally. It was committed to memory. It wasn't something that was said, expressed, that was said, written. Rebbe saw there was a time that people were forgetting the Torah Shabbat Peh. And at that point, Rebbe instituted that we should have the words of the Torah, the words of Torah Shabbat Peh written. But it wasn't necessary to be so elaborate with all the words, because they still wanted to have that Torah Shabbat Peh element. Only later, when they realized that that was insufficient, did they need to say that they need to be much clearer. And that's where the Chsuri Mechzra Ketani come from. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, shouldn't, if the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah is called Kenuyi Nedarim K'Nedarim, the Yodos Nedarim K'Nedarim, we still have a question. Why, when the Mishnah comes to illustrate, does it illustrate kinuyim for the yodas first? Lifrish kinuyim bereisha. So of course the Ran asked the question. We just said chsuri mechzva chitani, that the Mishnah is missing words. So why don't we say, says the Ran, that the proper gears of our Mishnah should be yodas nedarim k'nedarim, kinu nedarim k'nedarim. First, the Mishnah is teaching us the halacha of yodas, and that's why it's explaining those halachas first. So the Ran says the Gemara did not want to suggest that as an answer, because it's difficult enough, as we just explained, to say Chsuri Mechzra Chachtani, that the Mishnah is missing words. But to say that the first words of the Mishnah are words that are missing is not something the Gemara wanted to explain. So that's why the Gemara is learning that the proper way the Mishnah should have been taught is called Kinu Nedarim K'Nedarim, Yodos Nedarim K'Nedarim, and then the Mishnah illustrates Yodos. Why doesn't the Mishnah first illustrate Kinuyim if that's the first halacha that was taught? Answers the Gemara, who the Sokman Ehu Mefarash Bereisha. The halacha that we learned second is explained first. And the Mishnah says, we have precedent for that. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos teaches us, B'mem Madlikim, what kind of oil and wicks may be used for lighting the Shabbos candles, B'mem Madlikim. And what does the Mishnah illustrate first? Madlikim. The halacha is that certain materials we can keep food Erev Shabbos, and certain food we can't. But ma time them, Mishnah Masechta Shabbos teaches us, but ma ain't time them. The halach is ain't time them. There's certain jewelry that women can wear on Shabbos and Rishus Rabbim, certain that she can't. And the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos teaches us, but ma isha yotze, ma any yotze, like taitzi isha. So Gemara is answering, the derech of the Tana is to explain first the second halacha. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The call echad the pasuk law lemefarish bereisha. Is that true that the first halacha is not explained first? But Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Barbarasa teaches us yesh noichlam machilim. There are certain relatives that inherit their relatives when they die, and those people inherit them when they die. Yesh noichlam v'lemachilim. The people that inherit, but individuals, but they don't. Those individuals will not inherit them. And then the Mishnah explains el noichlam machilim. So we see the first halacha taught is the first halacha explained. The Mishnah Masechta Yevamos say, yesh, there are women that mutaris l'baleim v'suris l'veim, that were allowed to be married to their husband but not to their brother-in-laws. Yes, there are certain women that mutaris l'veim, that could have yibam, where they were suris l'baleim. And the Mishnah explains first, the first halacha, eil mutaris l'baleim v'suris l'veim. The Mishnah Masechta Menachos teaches us, yesh, there are certain common menachos, shetuna shem and levina. They have to include oil and levina in them. And there's certain common menachos that have shem v'loy levona. And the first halacha is explained first. Ve'ele tunas shem and levona. There's another Mishnah Masechta Menachos. Yesh tunas agasha, that there's certain common mincha that the kohen has to bring next to the mizbeach. Ve'ein tunas tenufa, but they don't require waving. There's certain kabanas mincha tenufa v'loy agasha, and the first halacha is explained first. Ve'ele tunas agasha. There's a Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus. Yesh Bechar L'Nachla. There's somebody that could be considered Bechar to get a double portion of the Yerusha. Vein Bechar L'Kayim. But he's not considered a Bechar that he should have to have a pinyon of Ben. There are individuals that are Bechar L'Kayim, Vein Bechar L'Nachla, that are Bechar for pinyon of Ben, but not for Yerusha. And the first halach is explained first. Vein Bechar L'Nachla, Vein Bechar L'Kayim. Who is such an individual? Says the Gemara. So we see that there is no rule that we explain the first halacha, the second halacha first. Says the Gemara, these mishnayis are exception to that rule. Mishum the afshalei, because they have so many details, so it's easier, says the Gemara, the farishahu the pasuk bereisha. Ask the Gemara, that isn't true. That halacha masechta Shabbos, the loy afshalei that doesn't carry many details, and yet we started with the first halacha by the Mishnah saying yoytze gomel. Elav dafka, says the Gemara, there is no hard and fast rule. Zimnan and Farsha, the Pasperesha, sometimes the first rule is explained, and Zimnan, who the Solik Liberesha, and second rule is explained. And therefore, since there is no hard and fast rule, the question in trying to understand the Mishnah, why is the second rule explained first, is not such a big kasha, because there is no hard and fast rule what to do.